This is WMUK's West Southwest. I'm Gordon Evans. Coming up, former Western Michigan University quarterback Tim Hiller discusses football, faith, and life in his book, Strive. Life is short, pursue what matters. But first, in advance of Veterans Day on Wednesday, a series of events are being held on the Western Michigan University campus. A panel discussion on Monday is titled Military Family Life, Families, Service Members, and Veterans. WMUK's Andy Robbins spoke with retired U.S. Army Colonel Angela Pereira, who will be part of Monday's panel discussion.
Colonel Pereira, thanks for being with us.
Hi, Andy. I'm happy to be speaking with you today.
You come from a military family yourself, right?
I do. I was actually born into a military family. I'm an Army brat. My father was an NCO. My mother was a homemaker. And I spent most of my adult life related to the military.
What are the biggest misconceptions do you think that civilians have, those who have never served in the military, have about being in a military family?
Well, I think that it goes both ways. Sometimes they overestimate the challenges, which are significant, but there are so many of us doing it that we know that they can be overcome. And sometimes people now, our society as a whole, is pretty removed from the military. They see the military responsibility as somebody else's job. So it's kind of a mystique to them. They don't know some of the challenges that we face either, especially the frequent relocations and the separations. Those are probably the hardest things to deal with in a military family.
Now, you've said that, you know, there are advantages to coming from a military family, but let's talk about those challenges first. And you mentioned one, the ongoing deployments we've had in recent years. What kind of issues does that raise for a military family?
Well, it's hard on a military family. It's hard because the member who has been gone has to work their way back into the family. Meanwhile, everybody else has shifted to fill in the holes. So roles change significantly. Then the military member who has been gone has been through lots of experiences, good and bad, that they're still dealing with, and they bring those home with them.
What can you do to help families in that situation?
Well, you have to provide a lot of support to families in that situation. And a lot of support especially has to be given to the non-deployed or the non-separated parent, especially because that's what gets the kids through the separation. If the parent who is there at home with the children is doing well, then usually the children will do well because it's that attachment that's very important to the well-being of the child.
Are there special challenges when both parents are in the military?
When I was in Iraq for my second deployment, I had a couple who were both there at the same time. And for them, it was childcare during the year that they were gone, but also they had no idea if their children were going to have one parent, two parents, or no parents at the end of the war. So that was very difficult for them.
How did they get through that?
I think they were very religious. They prayed a lot, and they had family members who, extended family members, who came in and took over the roles of parenting while they were gone. And I think that's very important always with military families and the changes that they have to go through. They're often separated from those families, but yet they're so vital to keep them healthy.
What other challenges might there be for military families beyond those that we've mentioned, the deployments, the child care and that sort of thing that perhaps civilians just don't have to think about?
There are a lot of challenges that military, that non-military families go through that are shared by military families. However, on top of that, they have to have concerns about operational tempo. In other words, how often duty calls first, and then spouse employment. If the spouse is trying to have a career, it's very difficult with somebody coming in and out of the family or moving a lot. There's child care, and of course you have to shift child care routines and roles and expectations. There are financial changes, especially with the reserve component. The times that they're on active duty versus not on active duty, there's a lot of financial changes in there. And it could, if they're trying to keep a career at the same time, it really negatively impacts on that career. And as a family, it negatively impacts on their finances for the family. There are dual military families. One I just talked about is a real problem. And I don't think that most people who don't know the military have a concept of what that might mean to a family. And then there's transition from being a military family to being a civilian family, and for reservists, that goes the other way too.
Does the Defense Department have programs to, say, help someone who's, let's say, marrying into a military family who is not themselves in the military to, you know, kind of give them a heads up about some of these things?
Well, we don't have programs like that. What we do have is family networks that are set up by the units that are prepared to educate people coming into the military or spouses coming into the military about what military life is about and to try to provide support during that process.
But that's a sort of an informal thing then.
That's informal. Yeah, we don't have a military 101, unfortunately, for people who are coming in to the military or spouses who are marrying into the military.
Now, you mentioned the issue of, you know, reservists, someone who's not been on active duty but then is called up. That obviously could be disruptive to a family. What about the person who, as you mentioned, is leaving the military, is about to become a veteran, and sort of that exit strategy, that can be kind of stressful too, apparently?
It's very stressful. But there are transition programs that are set up to help people do that, but that only goes so far. They don't actually get out and find you a place to live or find you a job that you can slide into after you've left active duty. So there are lots of issues, financial issues too, because many times those families have a huge financial loss at that point during separation. And if you're retiring, you're an older military person coming out of the military, maybe, you know, 20 to 30 years, you're older and you're hitting the job market as an older citizen. And that's sometimes a barrier.
Do you find that the people who have spent virtually all of their adult lives in the military have problems readjusting to civilian life, whether or not they were in combat, because the way of military life is so different from what it is in civilian life?
Yes, and sometimes it's the things like the camaraderie, the esprit de corps, it's the sense of belonging that you have in the military. Then there, in my case, I retired as a colonel, and a lot of my peers told me, you're really going to miss the power that you had. In my case, that wasn't true. But in many cases, I can understand how that would be true.
Sort of a loss of identity then.
The loss of identity, the loss of belonging, and then trying to fit into a civilian society where nothing is as structured. Nothing follows lines that you expect it to. There's no chain of command. There's no SOP about how to go about doing things and living your life.
So if you go into civilian life and you become a manager, you can't deal with your employees in the same way that perhaps you dealt with your subordinates in the military.
Yes, that's very true. I think that's absolutely true. And sometimes that is a difficult change. But then, you know, it's not all about power. A lot of it's about leadership, and you learn a lot of leadership skills and team, working as a team during your time in the military. And that translates very well to every job.
And that sort of leads into the next question. You've said that obviously there are challenges that we've just talked about being part of a military family, but you say there are some big advantages too. What are those?
Education, for one. You know, I feel that I got a very good education being a family member going to the schools that I went to. You learn how to make friends. You learn how to adapt to different situations. You have not only education and while growing up or being a child in the military, but also when leaving the military. There are lots of educational benefits. The pay for most careers is relatively good. It may not be for the, you know, some of the professional careers, they may take a little bit of a loss in pay, but for the rest of us, the pay is good. A lot of attention is taken to help you with a successful career. So there are a lot of advantages to military life.
If there were one or two things you would like your civilian audience to take away about what they should know about military families, what would they be?
Military families are very resilient. We have a fear right now that because of all of the deployments that military families are falling apart. Well, actually, the research doesn't say that, doesn't prove that that's going on. And they seem to be doing fine, especially with support. And this generation of military children, yes, some of them are at risk, but many of them not. Most of them are not. Most of them are very resilient. Families are doing fine, good, in spite of multiple deployments. But we do worry about some problems that we've seen as a result of the long wars we've just finished. Abuse, divorce, especially among women, long-term effects of PTSD and TBI, and suicide. So we still have a lot of work to do.
You use that term TBI. What does that mean?
I'm sorry. Traumatic brain injury, when you get hit by a hard object or shrapnel or just the results of a bomb, being close to a bomb and getting some of those airwaves knocked against your brain. So it's a strike to the brain. Military families are very resilient, but they can definitely use our support to do the things, to be able to continue to do the things that they're doing in taking care of our nation.
Angela Pereira, thanks so much for joining us.
Well, you're welcome, Andy. It was my pleasure.